Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, if you will. That's where we're at today. You know, with all the amazing stuff that's in this letter to the Philippian church, there's just some amazing passages of Scripture. The one we're going to look at today, you might think, well, that's kind of interesting. Why is that in there? Because it's kind of personal information that Paul shares about a couple of his friends. It's kind of like a, but we have to remember this is a letter that Paul wrote. And he's explaining what's going on. And even though it maybe doesn't have the great doctrinal statement that some of the other things, there is a message for us here in the example of these two men that Paul talks about. And so we're going to take a look at it, these faithful servants of God. And like I said, we find it in Philippians chapter 2. Stand as we read the scripture this morning. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your word. And we pray, Lord, today that you'll speak to our hearts with the message that you want us to hear and that we will open up our hearts and minds to receive your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What we see in the life of these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were friends of Paul's and fellow workers with Paul, is great examples of what it means to be a faithful servant of Christ. Now, these weren't perfect men, but they were faithful servants of Christ and did what God called them to do. So we're going to take a look at them, and hopefully their example can challenge us. So the first one is to look at the example of a guy named Timothy. You find Timothy quite often in the New Testament. In fact, in Paul's letters, Timothy is mentioned 24 times. So he's a well-known person in the New Testament. He's a follower of Jesus from the city of Lystra. Most likely he met Paul on Paul's first missionary journey when Paul came to Lystra. We know some things about Timothy. We know he came from a Christian family. When Paul wrote the letter to Timothy, he mentioned his mother and grandmother, who were both believers in Jesus Christ. So he came from a Christian home, Christian family. He would become Timothy a companion of Paul's. He would go with Paul on the second missionary trip, which means he was in Philippi when all this stuff happened that started the Philippian church. He knew these people that Paul was writing to. He'd been there. He'd seen it. They were friends of his too. He was just a companion, faithful companion of Paul's. If you read in Acts, you'll see that he was also with Paul in Corinth, Thessalonica, Berea, Ephesus. He was just an important part of Paul's team and a good example to us in many ways. Let's look at some of the ways that he's a good example to us. First, he was a trusted messenger. A trusted messenger. Now, Paul was hoping to go visit the Philippians, he says in this letter. But he couldn't go right now. He's under arrest. He can't leave. So he says, I'm planning to send Timothy. Now, Timothy won't go for a while, but he's planning on sending Timothy to go and check on the church and see how the church is doing and report back to Paul how the church is going. He was an important messenger for Paul. Paul expected that when he sent Timothy, Timothy would deliver the message that Paul wanted him to tell the church. He trusted Timothy with this message. He was trusted with the message that nothing would be lost between Rome and Philippi. The message would get there clear. Nothing lost in the translation, so to speak. A couple years ago, in our church, I went with the Work and Witness team to God, Guatemala. And it was a great time. And one of the things I got to do was do some training to the pastors down there. We had a bunch of pastors from different countries that came, and I got to do some pastoral training. Well, I don't speak English. I mean, I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak English very well sometimes, too. I don't speak Spanish, so Fernando was my translator. Amen, Fernando. But here's the problem. I would say 5 words, and Fernando would sometimes say 25 words. So what is he saying to these people? You know, and he would warm them up ahead of time and talk, and they'd be laughing. I'm going, I don't have any clue what Fernando's telling him. You know, so, but I did trust you, brother. I did trust you that you got the message through. You know, he just talks more sometimes, you know, but it worked. The message got through, right? God trusts us with his message, and we are to translate that, if you will, to people. And nothing should be left in the, lost in the translation. Are we trusted messengers of God? He's given us this amazing message of the love of God for all people, that there's forgiveness in the name of Jesus and eternal life. He's trusted us with that message. The scripture says we are witnesses. We're his ambassadors. Are we trusted messengers? That's a good question for us. He's trusted us with his message. Second thing about Timothy, he was showed genuine interest in others. You get the idea here that that Paul maybe was looking for other people to send. He loves Timothy. He doesn't want to send Timothy, but maybe he couldn't find a person to go and check on the church, so he's going to send Timothy. He says of Timothy, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare." He says everyone else looks out for their own interests, not for the interests of others, of Christ. Now, Timothy seems to be a great example, going against the attitude that's so prevalent of selfishness. Maybe other people could have went, but they didn't want to go. It was inconvenient. It's not what they wanted. But Timothy was really interested in people, and the people of Philippi say he would go. Timothy was willing to go. It's interesting because earlier in this letter that he writes to the Philippians, he says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Timothy is modeling this. He's doing what's not convenient for him. He's thinking about others. Good example. The German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a great man of God. He was actually killed by the Nazis at the end of World War II. He was captured and killed in prison. But he wrote a lot of things earlier in his ministry. He said this about thinking about others. He said, we must allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling out our plans by sending people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our own more important tasks, as the priest passed by the man who had fallen among thieves. We do not assume that our schedule is our own to manage, but we allow it to be arranged by God. Isn't that interesting? Being concerned about others, taking the time, even though it might not be convenient for others. And Timothy's a good example of that. Another thing about Timothy, focused on the interests of Christ. Paul says, everyone looks not only for their own, looks for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Now, I really don't think Paul is throwing everybody under the bus, you know, Luke and Silas and all those other people that traveled with him. But I think he's setting Timothy up as an example of someone that really his focus was on the interests of Christ, not on his own interests. We really either live in Philippians 1:21, where it says, for me to live is Christ, or Philippians 2:21, where it says, we look out over our own interests, look for our own interests. Now, God knows there's things we need to take care of in our life. We have interests in things we need to do, but our priority must be the interests of Christ, the interests of Christ. Jesus said it this way, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek him first, his kingdom first. It's about priorities. If Timothy wasn't interested in the interests of Christ, he would not have made the long trip to Philippi. He wouldn't be with Paul in Rome, but he was there because his interest was in seeking first the kingdom of God. Another thing about Timothy, he proved himself faithful. Paul says of Timothy, he has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You can see how close these guys were, Paul and Timothy. It was like a son and a father relationship. He'd served Paul on these missionary journeys. He had been sent by Paul to Corinth to take care of problems there in the church. He pastored the church in Ephesus for a while, and now he's with Paul in Rome, which can't be real convenient. Paul's a prisoner. But everything he did, he was faithful. Faithfully served the Lord, faithfully served the church, faithfully served Paul, faithfully served others. And we can assume very clearly that he'll hear these great words. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I think that should be our goal as well, don't you think? That Jesus would say when we finish our life on earth and enter into heaven, those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus said that we don't know when he's going to come back, but we need to be ready. So he'll find us being faithful, faithfully serving him. Next thing about Timothy, he was a servant of the gospel. He has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy didn't serve for the sake of Paul. He served for the sake of the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the message that Paul went out and shared with the world, and Timothy went out and shared with the world, whether he was with Paul or without Paul. He shared. He was a servant for the gospel. That's what he lived for. That's what Paul lived for. He shared that gospel. And Timothy also had a servant's reward. A servant's reward. Timothy knew that there was sacrifice involved in ministry, but he also knew about rewards. You know, there's both rewards that come right now and rewards that come later. One of the rewards you get right now when you serve the Lord is the joy of helping others. Do you know it really does feel good to help people? There's a story told of Sir Wilfrid Grenfell, who was a medical missionary to Labrador. He requested help from the head nurse at John Hopkins Hospital. He said to her, "If you want to have the time of your life, come with me and run a hospital next summer for orphans of Northland. There'll be not a cent of money in it for you. You'll have to pay your own expenses, but I guarantee you, you'll have a love for life that you've never experienced. It's having the time of your life in service of Christ. She went, and upon returning, she wrote, "I never knew that life was good for anything but what one could get out of it. Now I know that the real fun lies in seeing how much one can put into life for others." This joy of serving, this joy of helping others. He had the joy of helping Apostle Paul. It must have been amazing to hang out with Paul, this great apostle. Yeah, they had trials, they had troubles, they had persecution, but they also had amazing victories, great miracles. They saw lives change. They see the church exploding all over the world. I mean, they experienced great things. There was great reward in that. Perhaps maybe the best reward for Timothy was, it appears that Paul kind of passes on the ministry baton to Timothy and says, you know, I think Paul realizes his time is getting short on this earth, and he encourages Timothy, you know, to go and do the work that Paul's doing. Now, Timothy's not going to be just like Paul, but he's going to continue the work. When Paul wrote to Timothy in this letter of Timothy, he says these words, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." He's giving him permission to go out and preach the word. Go, do what I've been doing. This is a scripture that is read at every ordination service when pastors are ordained in the Church of the Nazarene. That scripture is read, giving them the authority and permission to go out and preach and do the work of the Lord. Timothy is given that permission from Paul. It's kind of like I said, Paul's handing off the baton, okay? My race is about done. Timothy, you take it, you go. Continue on. This must be had to have been tremendously encouraging to Timothy to know that Paul thought that much of him. You can do this, Timothy. Go. Carry on this work. Timothy is a great example to us. So we're going to look at the example of a faithful servant named Epaphroditus. Anybody name their kid Epaphroditus? I haven't known any Epaphrodituses in my life. I'm not sure what the nickname would be if you did that. But anyway, maybe Didus. I don't know. Anyway, he is kind of one of those unknown people in the scripture. Faithful servant that we don't. He's the only place he shows up is in this letter to the Philippians. Paul said he's going to send Timothy, but not yet. Who he's going to send right away is a man named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was a member of the church in Philippi. He's a Gentile believer. He was the one that brought the gift from the Philippian church to Paul in Rome. The Philippian church was concerned about Paul. Paul had he's under house arrest in Rome, which means he needs to provide for himself. He needs to get food and take care of himself. He needs money. The Philippian church took an offering. They gave it to Epaphroditus, who took off and went all the way to Rome to deliver this offering and be a help to Paul. Epaphroditus is a good example to us of a faithful servant of God. Several things about him. First, he's a spiritual brother. Paul calls Epaphroditus my brother. Now think about it. Paul was a Jew. Epaphroditus is a Gentile. But he says, we're family. You're my brother. Paul was one of the most loyal of loyal Jews before he became a follower of Christ. And you know what the Jews used to call Gentiles? They called them dogs. But now he says, this guy's my brother. You see, in the church, it doesn't matter what race you're from. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter in that day whether you're a slave or free, we're united in Christ. He's what unites us. And so Epaphroditus is a brother to Paul, a spiritual brother to Paul. Secondly, he's a fellow worker. Now, Paul couldn't do it alone. If you read the letters that Paul wrote and Acts, Paul had many, many, many people that were helping him all over the world. It takes a lot of people to do the work. And Epaphroditus was part of that list. He brought that letter to Paul all the way from Philippi. He served Paul in Rome, a fellow worker. And God is always looking for fellow workers. You know, when Jesus saw the great multitudes in Matthew, said he had compassion on them. And he turned to his disciples and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into the harvest field. You see, God is always looking to recruit more workers to send them out in the harvest field. Following Christ, being a Christian, is not supposed to be a spectator thing. You're not supposed to just sit by and watch everybody else do things, everybody else work, everybody else do ministry. We're all supposed to be in. We're all still supposed to be involved. We're all supposed to find something to do, to be fellow workers in that kingdom of God. People who know you really well, would they say of you, oh yeah, they're a fellow worker in the kingdom of God? That's what they said of Epaphroditus, a fellow worker. He's also a fellow soldier. Now, since he's a fellow soldier, that means Paul considers himself to be a soldier. They're in the same army, fighting the same enemy, and it reminds us there's a battle going on. And in the letter to Ephesians, Paul says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual battle going on in our world. We know there's a lot of stuff going on in our world. We see, you know, we see on the news the Russian troops lined up at the Ukrainian border, potentially ready to attack, and we see a lot of other troubles around the world. But let me just assure you, the most important battle that's going on in our world right now is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women. Now, Satan is defeated. We know that. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. But he's still active. And what he's trying to do is to keep people from trusting in Christ. He can't really can't defeat Christ, but he can defeat us if we'll let him. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. We need to be fellow soldiers in this battle. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this about that battle. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Much of the world is motivated when they fight by hatred. We're motivated in this battle by the love of God. In fact, the love is one of the weapons we use. The love of God, it's powerful. Much of the world uses lies and deceptions to try to win. We use the truth of God. The truth of God is powerful. It's one of our weapons, the truth. Much of the world is trying to win to bring glory to themselves, but we live to bring glory to God. We're in this battle, fellow soldiers in the battle. Next thing about Epaphroditus, he was a trusted messenger, just like Timothy is. Now, you see, Epaphroditus was the one chosen by the Philippian church to deliver the gift to Rome. It was a monetary gift, meaning he's probably carrying gold or silver. I don't know if some of you have done that. I've done that sometimes when we've gone on mission trips and we have to take cash in the country and we have cash strapped on us someplace trying to carry it into the country because we have to get in there. It's kind of a scary thought, you know, carrying all this money. He's carrying all this money all the way to Rome. He had to be trusted, right? Trusted to get the money there. Trusted to deliver the message there. And he's the one that's going to deliver this letter back to the Philippian church from Paul. He's going to be trusted with that. I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about intrigue. Here's this one man traveling all by himself with this letter that Paul wrote in his pocket, 4,600 miles to travel, but it got there. It got there. If it hadn't got there, we wouldn't have the letter to the Philippians in our Bible. But it got there. He was a trusted messenger. He delivered it. He got the letter there to the church there. Have you ever told someone to deliver a message for you? And you're sure they've done it. And then you find out, well, they didn't get the message. And it messed a lot of things up because they didn't deliver the message. Kind of frustrating when that happens. I wonder what God thinks sometimes when he's given us this amazing message and we don't deliver it. You know, let's say, for instance, that an angel shows up at your house. You know, real angel. I'm talking about real angels. And he's kind of questioning. He says, God sent me. I'm just going to do a little checkup. I'm just going to do a little check-in with you and see how things are going. And here's the question that God wanted me to ask you. How many people have you shared Christ with? How would you answer that? None? One? Two? A few? And then how would you answer the angel when he said, well, why not? Kind of probing questions, aren't they? You see, we're all supposed to be witnesses for Christ. We all have this message that God has trusted us with. We need to share it. And then we leave the results in God's hands. A lot of times people are hesitant to share because we don't know how it's going to turn out. That's not our job. Our job is just to be a witness and to share the message. It's up to God. God's the one who saves. We can't save anybody, right? Trusted messenger. We need to be trusted messenger. He was a faithful servant. Epaphroditus went to Rome, delivered the gift, and stayed for a while. He took care of Paul's needs. We don't know what he did. Most people don't, commentators don't believe he was a preacher. They think he was a layman that just went there to help. He probably just did ordinary things. Maybe he went out and shopped and got food. Maybe he did errands for Paul. Maybe he, you know, I don't know. He just did things that needed done. He was just a servant doing whatever needed done. Served quietly without any recognition. He's a great example of someone that serves behind the scenes, not wanting attention, just wanting to faithfully serve. That's the kind of service that Epaphroditus did. Paul says that he almost died in that service. He was sick for a time and almost died. I imagine it was COVID. His service was costly. He almost died, but his sickness didn't stop him from serving faithfully, right? He's ready to travel back home. He's ready to go. There's no quit in Epaphroditus. Yeah, he's sick. He might have got sick on the trip over, but he's not going to stop in him. Faithful servant. Also, Epaphroditus was concerned about others. He longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Now think about it. In those days, they didn't have email or cell phones. Communication is slow. And Epaphroditus is worried about his friends back home because they heard he was sick, but they don't know how he is now. He's worried about them. He's not worried about him. He's worried about them. He's thinking about others. It wouldn't have been easy for Epaphroditus to leave his life in Philippi and travel all the way to Rome. It wouldn't be easy for him to leave the Apostle Paul, where he really wants to be, travel all the way to go home. But he did it because he's thinking about others. And isn't that the nature of the love of God, that God has shown to us and that we are to show others, this unselfish, giving kind of love that's concerned about others? Timothy modeled this. Epaphroditus modeled this. Best thing about Epaphroditus, he was a risk taker for Jesus. Says he almost died. You know, from Philippi to Rome is 4,600 miles, and they say it takes about 6 weeks to get there. That's just not a little afternoon stroll. It would be dangerous. He'd be carrying money all the way to Rome, and he got sick. He might have got sick on the ship on the way over. We don't know. He risked his life. That word risk means, it comes from the world of gambling. It means to put all your money in on the bet. So if you have a pile of money, you're betting on a certain thing, you put it all in. All the money's in. That's the point. He risked his life. He put his whole life on the line in service to Christ. Took it all. Gave it all for Christ. Missionary David Livingston was in Africa serving and looking for more men to come serve in the mission work over in Africa. He got a letter from some friends that said, well, tell us when the roads are ready and there's a good road to get in there and we'll send some people. And David Livingston went back and he says, I do not want men who will come if there's only good roads. I want men who will come if there's no roads at all. Risk takers for Jesus. Go and take a risk and serve the Lord. Lastly, he was worthy of honor. Paul does a beautiful thing for Epaphroditus at the end of this letter. He tells the church to give him a hero's welcome when he comes home. He says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Now, I imagine Epaphroditus didn't want that or wasn't expecting it, but Paul says, do this. They honored this faithful servant of Christ when he returned. Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonica church, said something similar. He said, brothers, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and would admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. So Epaphroditus goes home, and the people there honor him. They celebrate what he's done. I'm sure he was shocked. So Timothy and Epaphroditus are good examples to us. They are following the example of Paul, who is following the example of Christ, that God was at work in and through these men. And their example speaks to us. Each generation needs to pass on to the next generation the good news of Jesus and the example of faithful service. Through the centuries, this has always happened. The church has never stopped. It's still growing in amazing ways around our world because it keeps getting passed on. And so I guess the challenge for us is it's our turn. This is our time. We live in very interesting days, but it's our time to be faithful servants of Christ. You know, it's basketball season, as you know, And some of the leagues are winding down and the tournament's coming up. But one of the things that happens oftentimes in a basketball game, and it happened just this weekend, yesterday, Florida was playing Auburn. Auburn is the number two ranked team in the nation. Should have easily defeated Florida. But Florida, at the last minute, beat Auburn by 1 point. And what happened was, people from the crowd up in the stands who were watching the 10 players on the court rushed the court. They run down on the, just to celebrate. They rush the court, and so the court's just full of people. You've seen it happen many times if you watch basketball at all. And that illustration just reminded me that in these days in which we live, we're not supposed to be spectators up in the stands. Christ has won us amazing victory. We need to rush the court. We need to get out of the stands and onto that playing court and get involved in ministry to be faithful servants of Christ. Amen? So, like we would do in a sports thing, we'd get in a huddle and say, okay, ready, set, go, right? Let's go. Faithfully serve Christ. This is our time. This is our moment. Time flies by quickly. Today's the day. This is the time that we need to serve Christ with our whole heart. Are we in? Everybody all in? I see three or four. All right, let's pray. Let's have the worship team come up first and we'll sing a song of worship and then we'll pray. Anything you need to pray about, you can come and pray and trust the Lord. God has good things planned, I believe. So we keep following him. He's the one that's doing the work. He just does it through us for his glory and his honor. Stand as we worship.